Blog Talk Radio.
Go! Welcome to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio. Just like every week, it's me here, Paul Gann, talking sports with you for the next hour. And for the next hour, we will be talking sports and, of course, having fun. And you're going to get my opinions. And just like every week, I want to hear all your opinions. I want to hear your ideas and all your beliefs. The number to call. 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go For It under the category of sports. And also, this show is high-tech, so you can be high-tech. You can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. Again, that's goforit.gant@gmail.com. I hope everybody had a great week. Again, we're here talking sports just like we do every single week. Talking sports and doing what we like to do here on Go For It. And that is, of course, talking sports. So let's see what we're going to talk about today. Let's see what's going on in the world. Did you hear the breaking news? Breaking news, breaking news. Eagles made a big trade. Yes, the Eagles made a big trade. Now, I know what you're thinking is Donovan, right? No, they didn't trade Donovan. I know that's what a lot of you guys want, but no, it wasn't Donovan. Instead, the Eagles have traded Sheldon Brown and linebacker Chris Gokong to the Cleveland Browns for linebacker Alex Hall and two draft picks in this upcoming draft. That's the fourth draft picks in the fourth and fifth round, numbers 105 and 107. So, again, big deal for the Eagles. They trade away Sheldon Brown. They trade away Chris Gokong, two guys off the defense. It's a move, I think, that comes back to Sheldon. If you look at Sheldon Brown and his situation, last year Sheldon Brown skipped minicamp, and what Sheldon wanted essentially was a new deal. He wanted a new deal. Sheldon wanted more money. The Eagles weren't willing to give it to Sheldon. And last year Sheldon Brown really wasn't much of a distraction. He came there, he did his job, he did what he had to do. He didn't distract the ball club. And that's you got to give a lot of credit to Sheldon Brown for doing so. But I don't think the Eagles were sure if Sheldon was not going to be a distraction this year. They couldn't guarantee that Sheldon was not going to be a distraction this year. I mean, the guy had a fairly good year. He had a fairly good year. And he wanted to get paid. And it's understandable that the guy wanted to get paid. It's understandable. I mean, Sheldon had a good year. He played well for the Eagles. And he felt, you know what, it's time for me to get paid. But in trading him to Cleveland, now, according to what the deal is, the Browns have restructured his deal and gave him more guaranteed money and guaranteed this money within a signing bonus. So you got to give – Sheldon Brown now has more money, has made the money, and he's off to a new team, and the Eagles lose Sheldon Brown. Now, when you think about Sheldon Brown last year for the Eagles, I thought he had a fairly good year. He was banged up a little, but I thought he had a decent year for the Eagles, and he's a guy who hits hard, a guy who plays hard, and he was one of the leaders on that defense. So now you're missing some leadership on that defensive side of football and losing Sheldon Brown. So he's a guy now that will take his talents and his leadership ability, to the Cleveland Browns. And so, I mean, he's going to be missed in the locker room, I think. And hopefully, if you're an Eagles fan, like I am, hopefully we can replace Sheldon Brown. You got guys like Hanson, Yosilio Hanson. They did sign Marlon Jackson. So we'll see what these guys will do in the draft and also in free agency. But he's a guy that I thought had a good year for the Eagles and a guy who definitely did a lot in terms of leadership for the Philadelphia Eagles. So Eagles had a big trade, but guess what? McNabb is still here. McNabb did not get traded. He's still here, everybody. So you can't cheer, you can't celebrate yet. He's still here on the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, in other news, got a big fight tonight. Big fight tonight. Well, I guess if it was 17 years ago, it'd be considered a big fight. Roy Jones, Bernard Hopkins. Big fight tonight in Vegas. They fought once in 1993. Jones beat him. Beat him decisively. Unanimous decision. And so it was a fight that Bernard has always wanted. It was a fight that, in some respect, is 17 years too late. And unfortunately, egos got into the way of these guys getting it on 17 years ago. So it's 17 years too late. Let's say 15 years too late. But it's a fight that is intriguing to me in a lot of ways. Because you got big names here, Bernard Hopkins, Roy Jones. The thing about it now is both of these guys are in their 40s. Roy Jones, 41. B-Hop, 45. So these guys are a little long in the tooth at this stage of the game. They're not what they were. You can make the argument that Hopkins is not what he was, but Hopkins is still a legitimate contender in the lightweight division. But you look at the light heavyweight division, If you look at Roy Jones, I mean, this guy is coming off first-round knockout of Danny Green. Danny Green. Let me guess, you never heard of the guy, right? Yeah, neither have I. Until he knocked out Roy Jones. Again, Roy Jones was dropped in the first round. First-round knockout to an unknown Australian boxer in Danny Green. And in doing so, it kind of took the luster off this fight. A fight that didn't have much luster to be... to begin with, but we after, I mean, they agreed to the fight in late 2009, and agreeing to the fight, both of them had tune-ups. Hopkins had to fight Enrique Ornelas, and Roy Jones had to fight Danny Green. Hopkins took care of his side. 12-round decision, easy fight for Bernard. Roy Jones, on the other hand, got dropped. They both fought on both fought on December 2nd. One in Australia, the other in Philadelphia. Roy Jones was dropped in the first round. Bernard Hopkins did what he had to do. And in doing so, you figure at this point, okay, Roy got knocked out in the first round. There's no way that these guys are going to fight. There's no way. The fight has to be called off. I mean, how can you sell this fight to anybody? But somehow, some way, these guys have decided, you know what, we're still going to get it on. And in order for you to watch it, you're going to have to pay $50 on pay-per-view. Well, as much as I am intrigued by this fight, as much as I would like to watch this fight, I'm not giving you $50 for this fight. You're not getting my money. Not for this fight. Is it an intriguing fight? Definitely. Is it a fight worth my hard-earned $50? Nah, no thank you. But this fight, and looking at this fight, you look at a larger issue. Hopkins, 45. Jones, 41. Guys up there in age. Guys at this point, you get a little scared. It's a little scary when you see guys this age getting into the ring and still fighting. It makes you a little nervous in a lot of ways. Because one thing about boxing, when you lace them up and you step in that ring, anything can happen. Anything can happen. And that includes you losing your life. And at the age of 41 and at the age of 45, your brain is not meant to take that type of punishment. And that's what these guys are doing. And I'm a lot more afraid for Roy Jones than I am for Bernard for this fact. Bernard's a guy who hasn't been knocked down a lot. He's a guy who hasn't taken a lot of punishment. And he's a guy who's kept himself in great shape and is a guy who's very fundamentally sound. So he's a good defensive fighter. And he's a guy who can protect himself in that ring. Roy Jones, I'm a little afraid for. He had that scary knockout against Tarver. An even more scarier knockout against Glenn Johnson. And you look at it now. He stepped up when he stepped up against Calza. He beat Trinidad. He beat a few other guys, lesser name guys. But when he stepped up to Calzaghe, he took a beating. Calzaghe bloodied his eye. Calzaghe really hurt the guy, and it really wasn't a competitive fight. That's when he stepped up. And again, he's stepping up in class against a guy like Bernard Hopkins, even more so against, I mean, he stepped up in class against Danny Green, but he's even more so stepping up in class against a guy like Bernard Hopkins. So I'm just a little afraid from Roy. And it comes to a larger issue, and I want to get your guys' opinion on this. At some point, should there be some kind of age limit on fighters? Should we say at 45 or at 40, once you hit 40, you got to stop, you got to hang it up? I know it's sort of un-American in a lot of ways because we as Americans, we believe, you know, the Constitution affords us certain rights, but there are laws and things in our society to regulate behavior. And in some respect, we have to regulate behavior. If we don't regulate behavior, we'll have laws are there to regulate behavior. And in some respect, I feel like maybe we need to regulate the behavior of some of these boxers. I mean, Roy Jones, I know you passed all the necessary tests. I know you went through all the doctors, and I know everybody said you were fine. But Roy, the knockdowns that I've seen against a Glenn Johnson, the knockdowns that I've seen against an Antonio Tarver, the knockdowns that I just saw against Danny Green are very scary, Roy. Roy, in some respect, I hope I'm rooting for Bernard in this fight because I hope at this point Roy will call it quits. Because eventually, and in some respect, this only way to stop these guys, stop a guy like Roy Jones from fighting, is for him to take a brutal knockout in a lot of ways. That to me is the only way you're going to stop a guy like him from fighting. And Bernard, I mean, again, he's a guy that still has proven that he can fight and he can defend himself. I mean, he's beaten guys like an Antonio Tarver, who was the lightweight champion at the time. He's a guy who had a disputed decision against Joe Calzaghe. He lost the fight, but it's a fight that I believe he won. And he's beaten a guy like a Winky Wright. I mean, he's beaten guys recently. He's beaten Kelly Pavlik. I mean, he's beaten guys, and he's shown that he still has some ability. But at some point, Father Time, just like he catches up to everybody else, will catch up to him. He is 45 years old. And at some point, it's going to catch up to him. So the question becomes, and I'll throw it out there to you guys, should there be an age where we say to certain fighters, you know what, you got to hang it up? Should there be an age? And also today, we're going to send somebody to Gant's garbage. We got to throw somebody in the trash. And we'll do that later in the show. So again, the numbers to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show. Go for it. And also, for those who are a little nervous, you can send messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. Again, that's goforit.gant@gmail.com. And we have a caller. Hello, welcome to Go For It.
Hello.
Yes, you're on Go For It.
Hi, my name is Dee. I'd like to know, is there a certain age that they have fighters to stop fighting?
Well, at this stage, there isn't an age. I mean, a lot of these fighters, they go through a lot of tests from various doctors to see if they're fit.
Do they go to, like, the doctor that, like, say if they're fighting for Greene's Academy, do they go to the Greene's Academy doctor and he may pass them, and then they go to their own private doctor and he'll say, oh, no, you can't do it, but then because Greene's Academy's doctor said that you could, you continue?
Well, each state has a commission, and each commission has a set of doctors, and each doctor will look over that fighter and say whether that fighter is fit to fight. And like I said earlier, Roy Jones is a guy who's went through those tests. Bernard Hopkins is a guy who's went through those tests. And they're fighting in Las Vegas. And Las Vegas, they do a good job of testing.
Are they very lenient? Oh, they're not a lenient state.
Well, a lot of people are saying at this stage of the game that with the economy being the way the economy is today, that they are letting some fighters go through because they are a big draw, like a Roy Jones, like a Bernard Hopkins. So in a lot of ways, I mean, it's tough to say. I mean, for example, Evander Holyfield is about to step into the ring in April.
Yes.
And Evander Holyfield has passed all the tests. And he's a guy who has taken a lot of punishment.
Yes, he has.
And he's a guy who was also, his license was taken away from him in New York. And so, I mean, you know, it's hard to say how thorough some of these commissions are, but in a lot of ways, Roy Jones is a guy who can make money for the casinos and for Las Vegas in general.
Thank you very much. You've been very informative.
Thanks for your call. So again, I mean, the number to call is 1-646-727-3070. Again, that's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show. Go For It. And again, you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. Again, you can send messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. Off to the NBA now. More specifically, the Western Conference of the NBA. Have you seen the standings in the West? Have you seen these standings in the West lately? If you look at these standings, from position number 2, which is the Dallas Mavericks, to the 8th seed, which is the Portland Trail Blazers, there is 4 games separating these two teams, these 8 teams. 4 games. So you look at, if you look at 2, 3, 4, and 5, there's 1 game separating the 5th seed, which is the Denver Nuggets, from the 2nd seed, which is the Dallas Mavericks. So it's going to get hectic here in the last week of this season. And if you look at it, I mean, every day these standings can change. Every day. You're going to have to look at these standings every day to see what has happened, to see if Dallas moved to number four, to see if Denver got to number two, to see if Phoenix moved down all the way to six. I mean, you figure Phoenix and Oklahoma City, which is the sixth seed, Phoenix being the third seed, there's three games separating these two teams. I mean, there's about a week left in the season, about a week and a half left in the season. So this could change. This could change. And if you look at the Phoenix Suns, they're on a 10-game winning streak. So now, this ball club is the third seed in the Western Conference. And if you're Phoenix, you want to stay in that third spot, and you want to stay in that second spot. You don't want four or five, because if you go four or five, that next team you're going to see is that Los Angeles Lakers ball club. They're the number one seed. And more than likely, whoever they play, they're winning. So you can book it that the Lakers will be in the second round in the NBA playoffs. You can book that. So if you're Phoenix, you want to stay in that third or second seed, even that sixth or seventh seed for that matter, because once you get to the playoffs, and judging by how competitive these teams are, seeding may not even matter in a lot of ways. And the only way it matters, only reason it will matter, is if you're Dallas, if you're Phoenix, and if you're other teams in the Western Conference who want to avoid the Lakers in that second round. You don't want to play the Lakers unless you have to and until you have to. So you figure your second seed. If you're the second seed, you're playing the seventh seed. If you're the third seed, you're playing the sixth seed. So, again, if you win, you're not playing the Lakers in that next round. You're playing somebody else. So you want to avoid that. But if you're four, if you're five, you're going to play the winner of the 1-8 series. So you want to avoid that. And to be honest with you, I mean, it's hard to say who's going to come out, who's going to be the team that's going to get that second, third, fourth, fifth seed for that matter. Because you got to remember, I mean, Dallas and Phoenix are tied. Utah is a game behind the loss column. Dallas and Phoenix are 50-26. Utah is 50-27. And then you got Denver, who is a game behind the loss column at 49-27. So they're one game. They're the fifth seed, and they're one game behind the second seed. So at any point during the week or at any time, they can go from number five to number two. So it's kind of that simple. They can go from five to two in one game, in one day. So, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how this shapes out, what happens here. It should be very interesting how it happens. And if you look at it right now, I mean, I know earlier this week I went to see the Sixers, and I saw Oklahoma City, and I saw a team where a lot of talent there. Are they ready to compete this year for a championship? No, they're not. They're not ready for a championship. Can they scare a few teams in the playoffs? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. They can definitely scare some teams in the playoffs, and they may scare some. They may beat a team. I don't think they will, but they could. So you gotta. It should be very interesting to see how that shapes out, because you got Durant, Jeff Green, and Russell Westbrook. I mean, there's a lot of talent there on that ball club, and I know everybody is saying Phoenix is the hot team right now, and they already won 10 games in a row. But if you really look at that schedule, you realize Phoenix only beat two teams that will be in the playoffs next year. They will only beat two teams that will be in the playoffs next year. In the playoffs this year, excuse me. I mean, they beat the Utah Jazz during the streak, and they beat the Portland Trailblazers. But the rest were teams who are not in the playoffs. So, I mean, give them credit. The schedule is what it is, and you beat who you have to beat, and you handle your business. But at the same time, it may be a little deceiving, considering that they only beat two teams that were in the playoffs and that will be in the playoffs this year. We have a caller. Hello, welcome to Go For It.
Hi, this is Diana from New York. I wanted to ask you a question. Are you back into you're in basketball now, right?
Yes, sir.
But I wanted to find. I want to go. Can I just ask you that question again about boxing?
Sure.
All right, I wanted to find out, you're basically talking about the men. What do you think about the women in boxing and how long, you know, what age that they should stop boxing, being that so many women are in boxing now?
Oh, well, it's not something I really thought about in terms of women's boxing. To be honest with you, I'm not really into women's boxing. In a lot of ways,
well,
I think it's a little barbaric and quite savage, to be honest with you. I mean, boxing is not something I think women were meant to do in a lot of ways, and it may sound sexist, it may sound chauvinistic, it may sound that way, but in reality, I mean, it's not.
But why? There are women, do you feel that it's more dangerous for them as opposed to men?
I don't know if
what's
it's
different.
I don't know if it's more dangerous or less dangerous. I just don't think it's that exciting. I mean, I don't really find women's boxing to be very skillful in a lot of ways, and I just don't. There's obviously not much of a market for it.
But that's not true. Look at Layla Ali.
Yeah, but I mean, if she was Layla Lowe, would you care about her? Probably not.
Well, why? What are you saying? Because her father was a famous boxer?
Exactly. If she was Layla Smith.
That's stereotypical of you.
If it was Layla Smith, would you care? Probably not. If it was Layla Jones, would you care? Probably not. So, I mean, the reality of it is, the reason that fight sold and the reason she sold was because of her name.
I don't believe that. She's a good boxer.
I guess you were the only one that was watching her because there wasn't a lot of people watching her.
But you're being discouraging to women who watch the box.
Well, I mean, you know, women, in my opinion, don't belong in the ring, and they don't belong in a football field.
But why?
And that's just reality.
You're really sounding sexist here.
If it sounds sexist, and I'm sorry, but at the same time, if you look at the woman's body and a male's body, the male's body was made to take more so the punishment of a football season, take the punishment in the boxing ring. The woman's body wasn't made for that. And so in a lot of ways, I just don't like female boxing.
But the women
are going
to box against women. So what should be a problem with that if they're boxing against women?
It's just not that enjoyable to me, and it's not very exciting. And judging by the amount of people watching it, the public has spoken in a lot of ways too.
Oh, you've heard the public speak about women boxing?
The public has spoken by the amount of how much money it's made and how many people are going to see it. So the public has spoken in that respect. But Diana from New York, we thank you for your call. So the number to reach us, I mean, Diana from New York wants to talk about women's boxing. I mean, come on. The number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show. Go for it. And again, you can send messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. And again, that's goforit.gan@gmail.com. Women's boxing. I don't think many of us really care about that. But, again, big fight tonight. Bernard Hopkins, Roy Jones. Should be an interesting fight. Should be a fight that it's a fight, again, that's 10, 11, 12 years too late. But it's a fight, again, that's very intriguing in a lot of ways. So I hope everybody will, I guess, support the fight in some respect. But I guess if you support the fight, you got to have guys like Roy Jones who will continue to fight. You got guys like Bernard Hopkins who will continue to fight late into their 40s. And I'm, in a lot of ways, Bernard Hopkins, it's okay for you to fight, Bernard, because you have proven that you can adequately defend yourself in the ring. Roy Jones, I'm not too sure. You haven't proven that you can defend yourself in the ring. So, I mean, when you look at those two things, and in some respect, you would like it, like to see Roy Jones just say, no more, Roy. You would like someone to say, no more, Roy. Maybe Alton Merkerson, who is his trainer. Maybe his dad, Big Roy Jones, could tell him, Roy, please. Somebody has to tell Roy, please. But, hey, you never know what could happen in boxing. You never know. You never know what can happen. And we'll see tonight. We'll see tonight what may happen or what could happen. I mean, again, I'm not really expecting Roy to do much tonight. I'm not expecting much, but you never know. You never know in this game of boxing what could happen. You never know. I don't expect much from Roy, but you never know what could happen. You never know in the game of boxing. All right, we have a caller. Hello, welcome to Go For It.
Hey, Paul, this is Cliff Rold calling in. Sorry for the delay I had.
Hey, Cliff, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Cliff, are you in Las Vegas now?
No. I'm not on the East Coast this weekend. I got some stuff going on back at home, and that's sort of what was delaying me. So I'm still back at home right now.
Oh, okay.
But I'll be watching from a distance.
So you will buy the pay per view.
Oh, absolutely.
Cliff, as much as I love boxing, I want to support this pay-per-view. I want to buy this pay-per-view. But, Cliff, the question becomes to you. Is it 13, 14, 12 years too late?
No, but it's probably 5 or 6. Any boxing fan out there who is watching a tighter budget, and let's face it, this is a sport that, you know, much of its fan base is what you would consider blue-collar, working-class type folks. You're not dealing with a situation where, where there's so much expendable that you can buy every pay-per-view. And so if you have a discerning eye, I don't know if this is the one you'd want to pay for. But if you're a hardcore Hopkins or Jones fans, if you're a elitist type of person, you might want to see it. If you get 4 or 5 people over to the house who want to chip in, you know, it's worth it on that level. But it's not the best pay-per-view of all time. The undercard isn't very good. And the main event's not going to be, you know, it would be a surprise if it was a great fight. It wasn't a great fight the first time. In fact, it was kind of a dull fight the first time. And now you've got a situation where one of the guys has devolved to the point where he really can't take a flush shot. So, you know, Roy, to win, is going to have to get in, get out, and not get tagged, especially with the overhand right behind the ear, which is a place where, you know, he's seemingly very vulnerable.
And I was saying earlier, at this stage of the game, I'm kind of afraid to see Roy get into the ring with anybody of the caliber of Bernard Hopkins. I'm just afraid because, like you said, I look at the Tarver fight. I look at the Glenn Johnson fight. Those were some scary knockouts. And even the one with Danny Green, it didn't seem like Danny Green hit him flush, and he still dropped.
Well, here's the thing. People can overanalyze the Danny Green fight. Danny Green can punch, and Danny Green is one of those guys who, you know, he's fought primarily overseas, but he's actually a pretty good fighter. I've had some fans who have written, and they're like, how did he lose to this bum? And I'm like, Danny Green's not a bum. With a little luck, Danny Green is a major titleist in 2 weight classes. He kind of got hosed up at 168 pounds when he went overseas to fight Marcus Beyer for a super middleweight title. He won a light heavyweight title, the WBA belt, from Stipe Drews, who was also a good European fighter. This is a good fighter. He's a swarmer. And he clipped Jones. And the thing is, he didn't knock him out. But there's my little defense of Danny Green. Being stopped by Danny Green in the first round probably isn't a good sign either. I mean, this is a guy who was cold outboxed by Anthony Mundine, and who 10 years ago Roy wouldn't have lost a second to. I mean, let's be honest. But I'm not too concerned about him taking shots from Bernard Hopkins. Bernard's not a particularly aggressive guy. I mean, how many knockouts has he scored in the last 10 years? Not many.
No, Bernard's not the type of guy who's going to stop you, but he's the type of guy who could torture you for 12 rounds.
He could, but he's not a volume puncher, so he's not going to hit you a million times. I mean, he did Kelly Pavlik, but Kelly Pavlik he had him, and he had him timed. Roy, I think they'll pull him out if he's getting punished. But Bernard's not a volume puncher. I would be much more concerned if Roy was fighting someone like Chad Dawson, who is so quick, but isn't necessarily that one-punch knockout guy that he could take, you know, an extended beating. I mean, if Rose is going to fight a young guy, I'd rather it be like a Tavoris Cloud where, you know, one shot's going to get him out of there rather than take 200 unnecessary shots. I don't think that'll happen with Hopkins. I expect sort of a slow-paced fight. Maybe Bernard gets him out of there. We'll see. But as far as, you know, being concerned about his health, yes and no. I mean, I am just as much as anyone, but, you know, he's a grown man. He seems to have his faculties. If this is what he wants to do for a living, it's hard to say no.
And I guess that goes to the larger issue. Should we have some kind of age limit in boxing? I mean, and a lot of I know this is America, and I know that's something that will never get passed, obviously. But in some respect, you got to protect these guys from themselves.
Yes and no. Here's the thing. I think the marketplace decides a lot of the times as far as an age requirement.
Mm-hmm.
If you get to a point where you just can't win fights, usually you're going to go away anyways. I mean, we've seen in other sports, you know, O.J. Simpson trying to play with the 49ers late in his
right.
career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Emmitt Smith going to Arizona where, you know, they're not the same player anymore, but, you know, they still love it. I mean, it's hard for me to say that there should be an age limit. I've heard trainers and a more direct knowledge of the sport who have been involved, who have been in the ring, who think that, you know, maybe there should be a way for long-term trainers and management to be able to make recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes the long-term ramifications as far as, you know, extended head injuries, like long-term head injuries, that you don't see those right away at places like Mayo when you do reflex tests. But, no, I can't see an age requirement. I mean, you know, if people are still willing to pay to see him do it and he's doing it of his own volition, you know, I'd like to see him protected from themselves. But the best way to protect a fighter from himself is to let it be known that he can't make money doing this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And this fight might be a great example because, by all accounts, this is not a big moneymaker.
No. And especially after Jones losing the tune-up to Danny Green.
It wouldn't have been a big moneymaker even if he hadn't lost to Danny Green.
Right.
I'm not even sure that many people know about the Danny Green fight. I mean, unless you saw it on Versus, or unless you're an avid boxing follower, you might not even know about the Green fight. It's certainly not been a big part of the press.
Right.
So I don't think that's an impact. I don't think this was ever going to be big. You've got a fight between two guys in their 40s on Final Four night.
Right.
With no title on the line. I mean, the last time anybody saw Jones in a significant fight was against Joe Calzaghe, and he lost at least 10 rounds. And he got
right.
the hell beat out of him. And
mm-hmm.
so this was never going to be an easy sell. This fight was never going to be like a Pacquiao Mayweather or a Leonard Hearns, no matter when they made it. Neither one of these guys was ever that level of star. They're that level of boxing talent, and
mm-hmm.
they'll be remembered by boxing fans as great, great fighters. But they were never mega stars that could command, you know, seven-figure pay-per-views with
right.
their name on the marquee. So, you know, even on their best day, you were looking at, you know, this fight would have been hard-pressed to be a legitimate super-duper, like, Oscar De La Hoya-level fight,
right.
even on best day.
So, Jones Hopkins, let's just say let's just say Jones wins this fight tonight. Does he continue on?
I don't know, probably. I don't think he'll make a ton off of this. So, you know, if his desire to continue has anything to do with money, and I don't know his personal finances, but if it does, then you would expect he would continue because he's still going to need the money. You know, if he loses, he might even continue. I can't know. But, I mean, you know, Roy winning is sort of the less likely scenario right now, but it's
mm-hmm.
not impossible.
Okay, we're talking to Cliff Royd from BoxingScene.com. It's a good website, very good boxing website. I go there all the time to get my boxing news. Now, Cliff, Bernard Hopkins, there's been talk, I actually read it on BoxingScene.com, there's been talk of possibly him, if he gets past Jones, fighting Calzaghe again. Is there any truth to that, or do you see that happening?
I think you're talking about Robin Morales' piece this week. It could be. I mean, I don't know of anything imminent with a Calzaghe comeback. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, he retired as an undefeated fighter. He was still, you know, at least near the top of his game. So, for him to come back wouldn't surprise me. Against Hopkins, that wouldn't surprise me either. They have sort of unfinished business, especially if Hopkins was willing to travel overseas and fight
mm-hmm.
England. I have no desire to see that. Their first fight wasn't that great. Their styles do not clash for an exciting fight. I think
I thought Hopkins did beat him by one point.
I thought Calzaghe beat him pretty easy, actually. I thought it was a close fight through six rounds. But, I mean, Hopkins really didn't do anything in the last six. And you know, I thought some of the behavior late in the fight was poor, trying to draw fouls and instead of punching. But, regardless, it wasn't a particularly entertaining fight. It didn't exactly light the world on fire with ticket sales. I don't see what the point of doing it twice would be.
Now, this is actually a separate issue, but Darrell Abraham, the fight last weekend, I don't know if you saw it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Your thoughts on that fight?
I thought Andre was doing a great job. I thought he showed the type of fighter that he could be. He showed the talent, the integration of talent and professionalism that only comes with seasoning. And sort of lived up to the potential people had seen in him. I thought he was getting a little tired late. I thought he got dropped pretty hard in the 10th round, even though the ref blew the call.
Lawrence Cole didn't have a great night.
Does he ever? I think it was headed towards one of those kind of finishes. You know, could we have had sort of a Mildred Taylor, Julio Cesar Chavez last-minute comeback? That was possible. The most likely thing is Darrell would have held on and won the decision that he had earned by round eight. But Abraham is a lethal puncher, and he screwed up. You hit a guy when he's down, and you screw up, and that's it, and you go home. And I mean, you don't always get disqualified for that foul, but sometimes you do. And if you do, you know the risk when you fire a shot when the dude's on his knee.
Right, and that's essentially what happened. Now, Cliff. We got to get your prediction for tonight's fight.
I don't rule Jones out because he's Roy Jones. You never know. Stranger things have happened, but if I had to pick, I'd say that Bernard wins a decision in a, whatever kind of fight.
Okay. This is Cliff Roy from BoxingScene.com. You can read Cliff at BoxingScene.com. Again, it's a highly endorsed website from myself. I really love the website. It's a great website. And you can get all your boxing news there at BoxingScene.com. Thanks, Cliff.
Oh, no problem. Oh, and it's Rolled, not Royd.
Rolled. Okay. Thank you, Cliff.
No problem, brother. Take care.
Take care. So that was Cliff Roy, Rolled, from BoxingScene.com. Cliff basically is saying that Hopkins is going to win the fight tonight. And quite frankly, Cliff probably is right. Bernard probably will get the victory tonight. And it should be an interesting fight. I don't know if anybody's willing to pay $50 for it, but you never know. Hello, welcome to Go For It.
Hello.
Yes.
My name is Ethel. I want to get back on the subject of women boxing.
Okay.
I thought your statements were a little sexist. You know, we have women that are in construction work. There are police officers. There are women going to war and dying alongside.
Ethel, should I bring out the violin now or later?
Excuse me?
Should I bring the violin out now or later?
You know, forget the violin, okay?
Ethel, there's not much of a marketplace for women's boxing. And the reality of it is no one is watching. Ethel, no one cares about women's boxing. And if it would be the same if it was women's football. They have some women's football leagues out here. No one cares.
That's because we haven't really gotten a chance.
Ethel, there's opportunities out there. The marketplace has spoken. I have spoken, Ethel. No one cares about women's boxing. No one cares about women's football. And quite frankly, Ethel, I don't think you've watched. I don't watch the WNBA, so no one cares about women's basketball. So,
hello, this is Ethel's cousin, Bertha. Now, if I wanted to be a boxer, I would have to get people.
We gotta go. We got these women coming out of the woodworks who, for some reason, for only God knows, in a lot of ways, who believe that. Women's boxing, that we should all watch women's boxing and that we should even have a discussion about women's boxing. We're not going to have that discussion here on Go For It. Quite frankly, it's an odd issue in a lot of ways. And women's boxing is an odd issue in a lot of ways. And so we're not going to discuss that here. I mean, I gave her time to articulate her point, and for whatever reason she had to bring on her ghetto cousin, Bertha. So, I mean, I don't want to hear Bertha, I don't want to hear Ethel talking about women's boxing. The number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go For It under the category of sports. And again, you can send messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Now, we at Go For It, we're about to embark on a campaign here. There's a specific quarterback. I have a Donovan McNabb jersey on right now. And I'm hearing every week, every day, all the time, that a lot of Philadelphia fans want this guy to go. I don't. Because he's the guy who gives us the best opportunity to win anything. And all you guys out here, all you people out here who want this guy to go, you'll regret it. You will regret it. Kevin Cobb is not your guy. You have your guy in Donovan McNabb. You have the guy who can get it done for you. So here on Go For It, we got a little campaign here that we're about to start. The campaign is Save McNabb. Save McNabb. Save McNabb. And that means here on Go For It, we support the cause, and the cause is that we want Donovan McNabb as our quarterback here for the Philadelphia Eagles in the upcoming 2010 season. Everybody here on Go For It, and that's just me, we want Donovan to come on back. We want Donovan as our quarterback. So it goes down to this, and it comes down to this. We need to save McNabb. Save McNabb. Save McNabb. And again, anybody else who wants to save McNabb can go and send messages to goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. And there, I want you to send a message. I guess if you're against Donovan McNabb, you can send a message that you're against him. But we want messages sent to McNabb. I mean, one message is sent to the Eagles and to everybody else that Donovan, we want you here. We want you here. We want you here, Donovan. And everybody who doesn't want Donovan here, well, that's your opinion. But this guy, again, 5 NFC championship games. Again, 6 Pro Bowls. Again, probably the greatest quarterback in Eagles history. So, to kick off this campaign, we got a song. And it goes a little something like this. Save McNabb, everybody. Save McNabb, everybody. He is the guy. If the Eagles want to fly, everybody save McNabb. Everybody save McNabb. And there again, that's the campaign, everybody. Go For It has endorsed Donovan McNabb as the Eagles quarterback for 2010, and we're here, and we all want to save McNabb. So, again, give me your messages. Give me your ideas. Everybody that is for the cause of saving number 5, Donovan McNabb, send messages to the show. goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. And everybody, we're here to save our man, our boy, number 5, Donovan McNabb. If you want to win, this is the guy you have to go with. If you want championships, this is the guy to give you the best chance to give you a championship. Kevin Cobb is not. Michael Vick is not. Donovan McNabb is. Save McNabb. Save him. Save Donovan McNabb. What we need to do, let's get the petitions together. Let's get all our petitions together. Let's write it down. We want Donovan McNabb as a quarterback, and we're going to send this right to the Eagles. We're going to send it to the NovaCare facility. Save McNabb. Are you down for the cause? Coford is. Paul Gann is. Save Donovan McNabb. We endorse Donovan McNabb as your starting quarterback for the 2010 Philadelphia Eagles. Hello, you're on Go For It. Hello, you're on Go For It.
Hello?
Yes. You got some issues there with your phone.
Yes.
Okay, they had some technical issues there. They need to get that straight. Whoever that was, you need to pay your cell phone bill, all right? All right. It's about that time, everybody. We got to take somebody to the garbage. Somebody's got to go to Gant's garbage. Somebody's got to go. You got to go. You got to go. It's old song, you gotta go, I gotta leave. But please don't make this hard for me. And this is hard for me every week. You guys don't know what the pain that I feel. You guys don't know the pain that I feel. You don't know the pain that I feel when I send somebody to the garbage. You don't know the pain that I feel. This is painful, guys. This is painful. But somebody's gotta go. Somebody's gotta go. And you know who's going? The Indianapolis Star newspaper. They're going. You know why? They depicted Coach K. How could you? Coach K, the man, the legend, Coach K, as a devil. They depicted him as a devil in their newspaper. A devil. I don't know about you, but this is Holy Week. How could you? This is Holy Week. You're making this guy the devil on Holy Week. Holy Week, everybody. This is Holy Week. And Coach K was depicted as the devil on the front of their sports page. The devil. Holy Week, everybody. This is Holy Week. How could you? For that, the Indianapolis Star, guess where you're going? You're going to Gant's garbage. Stop that cheering. This is painful for us. Stop that cheering. We can't cheer for that. No way. We can't cheer for that. Hello, you're on Go For It. Hello, you're on Go For It.
Hello?
Yes. We can't hear you. Whoever that phone is, we're having some technical difficulties there. Some serious technical difficulties. Yes, you're on Go For It.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. Since it's Holy Week,
yeah.
I just wanted to ask you a question.
Okay.
What do you think about the fight when Holyfield had? I forgot the guy that he was fighting with.
Uh-huh.
And he also fought when he was a certain older age. What did you think about that?
Well, again, just like Cliff Rold said in his interview, a lot of times, I mean, these are grown men here. And grown men are going to do what grown men are going to do. But at the same time, we need to regulate behavior. And you hope that somebody within the Holyfield camp, somebody within the Jones camp, somebody within the Hopkins camp in some respect will say to these guys, you know what, you're a little too old for this. And it's starting to get – boxing is dangerous to begin with, but it's starting to get a little bit more dangerous for you now, a lot more dangerous for you now. So,
well, what happens when they're a certain age? Does something go wrong in their brain that
well,
you feel
again,
that they shouldn't be fighting?
Again, if you're 40 some odd years old, if you see you got to take into account these guys spar for many rounds to prepare for the fight. So they're taking a lot of blows to begin with, and now you're getting into the ring and you're taking even more blows. So the older you get, the more susceptible you're going to become to certain things, and so you just hope that these guys will do the right thing, and you hope that these guys will stop fighting.
Okay, but don't you think that their doctor should make that decision?
Well, a lot of times, just like Cliff was saying, the marketplace dictates that. And if there's still a market for you, then people are going to come watch you. People are going to come see what you have. And therefore, they're going to pay money to see what you have. So the marketplace dictates that. The marketplace says that we still want to see you. Then you're going to continue to do it more than likely because you can still make money. In a lot of ways, it comes down to that almighty dollar.
Mm-hmm. Well, that shouldn't be a problem because you don't want them to just lay down and die.
Well, of course, you don't want to see anybody lay down and die. But the reality of it is the power of money and the love of money will make us do some things that that we really wouldn't do unless there was money there, and there is money there for people to make, and when there's money, we do certain things. And we thank you for your call. We have an email. We have an email for the show. We'll call him Boy G. He wants to talk about, he believes that Donovan McNabb should stay. We'll read his article. We'll read his email. He wants McNabb to stay. And this guy's a Giants fan. He wants the Giants to win. Good luck with that. I don't see that happening. You're a big Giants fan, but your team is not good enough, and they won't be good enough. Defensively, they were horrible last year. I watched them twice. I watched them a lot, but I specifically watched them two times, and two times that I'll talk about is the Eagles game where DeSean Jackson just ripped right through that team, and the Eagles offense just ripped right through that team. So defensively, there's a lot of issues with the Giants. And you hope, if you're a Giants fan, that they solve some of those defensive issues. And he wants to talk about the move of Doc Holliday. It's good to have Roy Holliday here in Philadelphia. I'm happy that he's here, but I would like to have both, Holliday and Lee. I hate to give up on a guy like Cliff Lee, who did a great job for the Phillies in that World Series and in the playoffs. So you hate to give up on a guy like that, but it happens. And you hope that Doc Holliday will come in and do what he has to do, and I believe he will. And this guy's also a Yankees fan, and he believes the Yankees will repeat. Well, if Cole Hamels and Brad Lidge had done what did what they had to do, this would not be a problem, and the Phillies would have repeated. Hamels didn't do what he had to do, and Lidge, just both of the guys stunk up the joint. These were two guys that the Phillies were counting on the year before. One, Hamels carried them through the World Series, the Phillies, and Lidge was perfect. And you got to remember, Lidge had blown double-digit saves that year. So if that guy would have, if Lidge would have just pitched, would just had a regular year for a closer, the Phillies probably would be the 2009 World Series champions. But we thank you for your emails, and we thank you for all your calls, and we thank everybody for joining us for Go For It. We like to thank also Cliff Rold. Let's get that right. We like to thank Cliff Rold for joining us on the show. Cliff writes for BoxingScene.com, and his work can be seen on BoxingScene.com. So go there and support Cliff. And I'd like to thank all the callers who joined us today. We appreciate all the love that you guys have given us. And we had a good time today doing what we always love to do here, and that's talk sports. But just like we come in, we got to leave you this way. And also remember, save McNabb, save McNabb, save McNabb. And we got to leave the show just like we always do. Go! Go for it! Thanks for joining us. Have a nice weekend. Bye.